All right, we're going to start talking about the linked list class today, here on section 7 of the notes. Now, what we're trying to do with the linked list class, and it's actually going to be composed of two classes, a linked list class and a linked node class. But basically, we're going to try and separate the functionality between the classes. We're going to try and set this thing up so that the list is nothing more than a container that can contain anything. And the list shouldn't have to be concerned with what it's holding or storing in the list. So what we're going to do is we're going to use the linked node class to basically store all of, or to hold all of the functionality of actually changing and doing the manipulation of the pointers. That's where all the code that actually changes the pointers will be. The item class will serve to encapsulate what we're storing in the list. We're going to arbitrarily call it item and require whoever's using our linked list code then to use a type-defined equivalency that we talked about previously to type-define whatever they want to store in the list so that it is also type-defined to items. And then we're going to basically set up this linked node as a node that contains a data item and a next pointer. And that data item will get set up so that essentially it's a socket where we can plug in an item of any given type. Now, there's this little warning down here at the bottom about some of this code may actually contain some intentional errors. So if you decide to use this in your next assignment, although I'm probably anticipating at this point not having you implement a single linked list, which is what this code implements, but having you implement a double linked list. Although you can certainly base it off of this and extend this code without too much difficulty to implement a double linked list. And if you decide to do that, you better be aware that there are some perhaps little gotchas in this code. So here on the next slide, on slide 7.3, is the linkNode.h header file that shows you the linked node class declaration. Now, we've found included item.h, and that item.h is where we expect to see a type defined for whatever type is actually going to be stored in the list so that it is also type defined as type item. We're always going to use an error code in the linked node class and the linked list class, the item data type. So we don't really have to concern ourselves with what's being stored in the list. And as you can see here, in the private section, we've got a data item type, and that's probably going to be some object. We don't really care. It could be a simple type. And we have a pointer to another linked node object. So here, this is a class, and inside the class, it contains a pointer to the class. So this is a class. We can instantiate linked node objects, and in each linked node object, the next pointer will be a pointer to another linked node object. Now, we've done that by specifying the type of linked node star. We could alternatively have done a forward declaration to the class linked node and type defined a node pointer type to be a linked node star, a linked node pointer. And then we could have used the type node pointer throughout all of our linked node class in place of linked node star. And that's just a matter of style. It's however you choose to do it. It's a little bit more obvious if you're looking at the code and you see some type name asterisk that it's a pointer rather than you just see something like node PTR, but it's only slightly more so. And the rest of this here, we've got a couple constructors, a default constructor, a parameterized constructor, a couple mutator functions to set the data and the next pointer, and a couple accessor functions to get the data and get the next pointers. And of course, the accessor functions, since they don't change anything, those are declared as constant member functions. So if we look at the implementation of some of these things, here on the next slide shows the implementation for both of the constructors. Now that default constructor is only setting next equal to null. It doesn't set data equal to anything. Why? One, we don't know the type.
And it should be an object to be initialized by its own.
If it's an object, it'll be initialized by its own constructor anyway. As soon as a link node object comes into a... This is actually an object-oriented design method called aggregation. Anytime that you embed an object inside of another object, whenever the object that contains the other one comes into existence, the constructor of the contained object automatically fires. So if that data item type is a class, this constructor will initialize it in this default constructor. We don't have to worry about it. If it's a simple type, it'll be undefined. Right? If it's a simple type, it'll be undefined. Now, in order to get around this little limitation, we provide a parameterized constructor where we pass in some new data type by constant reference, and at that point then, for this link node object, whatever it is that this has been invoked upon, it will set the data to this new data that it was passed into, and then set next equal to null. And you might also notice too, while that previous constructor, the default constructor, is relying upon the automatic constructor initialization for a data item object, this parameterized constructor is relying upon the overload operator for this other object. Because we're going to set this up so that it can store anything. We can have a linked list of whatever objects. Now, if those objects are just sort of data class objects, like your computer class, then this will work fine. We don't have to worry about anything. But what if we were going to store, what if the objects that we were going to store in here, the item types, or pointers, contain pointers to dynamic arrays, then what would have to be true for that parameterized constructor to work?
The dynamic array would be a sum operator.
That's right. The item class, or whatever type defined to the item class, would need to have an assignment operator overload with a deep copy on it in order for this to work correctly. Otherwise, we end up with a shallow copy. So there's a lot of little things to consider when you start combining classes like this. And that's part of the purpose in the next course. You'll get into a lot more of that in CS2704. Now here on the next slide, 7.5, is the mutator functions, and they're quite simple. The set data, basically, when that's invoked upon a specific link node object, we don't have to concern ourselves with which link node object, but whenever the link node object has set data, a message passed to it, then it will just change its data to the data that was passed to it. That's all. It'll just change the data that it contains. And the set next down here will get passed a new next pointer, a new pointer to some other link node object. And it'll change its next pointer to whatever it was pointing at to point to this new link node object. Now, there's a little question circled here. applies that parameter to set next, it passes while. That parameter in that function at the moment, that's what type of a parameter? It's a constant pointer to a mutable target, to a changeable target, right? But are we changing the target that that thing points to here in this function? No. So wouldn't it be safer to actually pass it in as a constant pointer to a constant target? No, well, it might be safer, but it won't work.
Suckers.
Why won't it work? The compiler will bark, well, it'll complain. It won't bark, but it'll complain if we do that. Okay? I'd like to see them bark sometimes. Yeah, I know the visual imagery of that is really probably not all that good, but whatever. Or as the guys on South Park would say, I'd like to see it hurl sometimes, but whatever. Yes, I watch South Park. So why can't I do this? Why would it complain?
It will say, cannot convey this pointer.
It complains that it can't convert this pointer when it does the assignment. Because this pointer declared in here, next, in the link node, is not a constant pointer. It can be changed. And I cannot assign a constant, and what it's pointing to is not a constant target. Now, so it will complain if I do this. It'll complain quite vehemently if I do this. So you've got to be a little bit careful at times when you're using the const to try and protect things that you're assigning like pointer types to each other. Okay, the next slide here just shows the reporter implementation, the accessor implementation on 7.6, and those are really quite simple. Get data just returns the data. Get next just returns the next. It returns the pointer. Now, in actuality, this goes back to a little bit of some discussions that's on the discussion board at the moment and some points that we raised a little bit earlier, and I don't want to get into them too much here. But how is this get data actually returning the data that's in the node? No, it's returning what? A copy. Okay? Is this get next returning the pointer that's in the node? No, it's returning a copy. Okay? The minor point, but something that's important. All right, so here on slide 7.7 is the linked list class, which uses the linked node class. Oh, well, let me back up. Well, you can see here, here's all our private declarations, our constructor, destructor, and then we've got all of our functions. There is kind of an oddity here. Let me back up for just a moment. If we look at the linked node class declaration, which I went way too in the wrong direction, there are constructors here. But the inverse function for the linked node class isn't there, which would be the destructor. Now, why doesn't the linked node class have a destructor, and is that a flaw? We'll come back to that question. We'll come back to that question. We think about that for a moment. We'll go ahead and talk about the linked list class. And we'll come back to that question. We need to really sort of think about the linked list class a little bit to give you a fair chance of answering it. We've included linknode.h, as you can see. We don't really include item.h. That needs to be included by the user. We don't really include it here, and it really should, it's already included in the link node.h anyway. It wouldn't hurt anything if we put it here, and it's here as a comment just to sort of make the point that this class is sort of dependent upon the existence of that header file. So, FireLink list class, we've got three pointers, head, tail, and curve. Now, this is not a ordered linked list class. This linked list class, as it's designed, does not automatically order the elements. There is not a general insert function that inserts it at the correct position, as we discussed previously. When we were talking about the linked list mechanics last time, and a couple previous classes, we talked about the insert function doing a traversal of the list, finding the right place to put it, and inserting it into the correct position. The design of this list is a little bit different. It's designed from the point of view that the user can use this class to either store ordered lists or non-ordered lists. And this class doesn't care. And it has with it, in order to do this, it stores the concept, in a sense, gives the user the concept of a current node, a current position in the list. And it allows the user to move that sort of focus of the current position or the current node in the list. And it provides operations for moving that. It has one to go to head, to go to the beginning of the list, go to tail, and advance. So the user can go to the head of the list, they can advance through the list, and they can tell when they're always in the list by this inList function. So they will actually, the insert function actually inserts at a new node with this data, new data in it, after the current position in the list. And it's up to the user to position that current sort of focus before they call the insert function.
So the user looks at that data source function
if they wanted a sort, if they wanted to maintain a sorted, an ordered list, that's correct. They would have to write their own sort of ordered insert function. Okay? Now, the rest of this here is fairly straightforward. The is empty, the check to see if the list is empty. Prefix node. Now, prefix node actually does the job of creating a new node and attaching it to the beginning of the list with this new data. We need that because the insert function here always inserts after the current position. So if we didn't have a prefix node, we would never be able to insert before the current position, because this insert is always sort of an insert after. And then we have our functions to move the current pointer in the list, advance it, go to the head and the tail. And you notice we're also keeping around pointers, not only to the head of the list, but also to the tail, along with the current node pointer. And then we've got a couple of delete functions here. One to delete the current node in the list, whatever it is, and one to delete a value. Given some item, it'll go through, find the first item that's equal to that one in the list, and delete that node from the list. And we've got a couple here. We've got an accessor function, a reporter function to get the current data, to get the data that's stored in the current node of the list, and one to set the current data, to change the current data, or like update. Now, you could envision a bunch of other operations here. And I've tried to keep this, we tried to design this little interface, this public set of member functions, to try and be sort of as small as possible, but still give us all of the functionality we need. And that's sort of the essence of good class design. You don't really, unless you don't really want to put a lot of functions in your class if they're not necessary, if they're not really needed. You can certainly do it, but the more code you produce, The more code you produce, the more chance for errors in the code, and the harder it is to make everything work correctly. So try and practice sort of minimal programming. Do everything you need it to do. Create a program that does everything you need it to do, that checks everything it needs to check, but try and do it as efficiently as possible. All right, so here on the next slide are the implementations for these functions. Here on slide 7.8 is the simple constructor. It's really quite simple because all it does is set head, tail, and cur all equal to null. And that's basically an empty list. So whenever someone instantiates a linked list, they get this that follows. They get a linked list object, and all the linked list object really physically contains is these three pointers, the head, the tail, and the cur, which gets initialized to null. Logically, they will eventually contain, in a logical sense, the linked nodes. But they won't physically contain the linked nodes. Well, that gets into some 2704 object-oriented design issues. We won't worry too much about that at the moment. Here's the destructor. Now, the destructor for this, as you can see, uses a temporary pointer, which it sets to the head. While that's not null, it then moves head to point to the next node. Now, it can't actually set head equal directly to point to the next node. Right? That's not because it doesn't have access to that pointer to the next node. The pointer to the next node is stored in the node object that head currently points to. And you can't just automatically, why could I not, for example, say head equals head arrow next?
This is what we're doing right now. It's in a different class.
That's right. If I say head equals head arrow next, I would be trying from this linked list object to access a private data member of a linked node object of a different class. And that I'm not allowed to do. So what I do is I just call the getNext function. I tell this linked node object that the head pointing to, I tell it to return me back a copy of its next pointer. And that's what I assign to head. Okay? Now there are some subtle issues to this that in terms of ownership and containment and composition that you will get discussions of in 2704. We aren't going to worry too much about that at the moment. And then we just delete the old head of the list, 2Kill, and we retarget 2Kill to the new head of the list. And we keep doing that until 2Kill becomes null, which means head will also be null. But just to be safe at that point, we'll set head, tail, and cur equal to null when we finish this destructor. And of course, you should be aware the destructor fires automatically whenever a linked list object goes out of scope. And there are several places where that can happen. The linked list node destructor, the linked list destructor, automatically and properly returns all of these linked node objects that it's pointing to back to the system heap whenever the destructor fires. So now, here's the isEmpty function. That's quite simple. It just checks to see if the head's empty. The inList. Now, inList is true if cur is not equal to null. If the current pointer is not equal to null, then it's pointing to one of the elements in this list. Because the only functions that can change cur are advanced, go to head, advance, and go to tail. So go to head and go to tail if there are any nodes in the list, that will set it to a node that's in the list. Advancing it will move it to the next node, unless what? Unless the current node is pointing to the tail. When you advance the current node and it's pointing to the tail, it'll end up setting it to null. And that will mean it will no longer be in the list. So this inList function basically tells the user when the current pointer is in the list, when the current focus is at a node that's in the list. That lets them know when it's safe to do certain operations. If we wanted to actually change this whole interface around to automatically only and only store ordered lists, we wouldn't need all of this. We wouldn't need this concept of a current pointer. We wouldn't need this go to head, go to tail advance function. But then that would limit a little bit the class. That would mean this class could only be used to store items that have some ordering upon them. And we just wanted to show you a little bit different way of doing it here, a little bit more general list implementation. So here on slide 711 is the prefix node function. The first thing it does, it's going to add a new node to the beginning of the list. So it goes out and it gets a new node. It allocates a new node, calling the new function, and it invokes the parameterized constructor of the link node class, passing it the new data, so that new data gets stored in that node. Then, of course, it checks to see if new node is equal to null. And if new node is equal to null, it returns false because it would mean the heap is exhausted. It wasn't able to allocate any more memory when new was called. Otherwise, then, we check here if the list is empty. If the list is empty, that means we're doing a prefix node into an empty list. There are no other nodes in the list, is what that's telling us. So in that case, all we have to do, we'll set new node, arrow set next to null, because this will be the last node that's in the list. It'll be the first and the last node that's in the list. And we'll set head, tail, and cur equal to point to this one, because it'll be the only node that's in the list. And then we return true. Now, if the list is not empty, that means that other nodes do exist in the list. And what we will do is we will set the next of this new node that we just allocated, we'll set its next pointer by calling it set next member function and passing it head. So that we'll tell it to set itself to point to the old head of the list. And then we'll retarget head to this new node that we just created. And then we'll return true. Now, technically, this statement here right below the if is empty. New node arrow set next equals null, or set next of null. That, technically, we could omit that statement, and everything would work fine. Why? The constructor. When we invoke the constructor for link node, it automatically sets the next pointer that was in that node to null. So this is just being redundant. It's just being redundant for safety purposes. We could omit that though. It wouldn't affect anything. Now, rather than direct, there is something we're doing in here, and you've noticed it by now. We aren't directly reaching down into those new nodes and changing the pointers. We're asking those, or these link nodes. We're basically requesting the link nodes to change their own pointers, to manipulate their own data. This basically just gives us a little separation between the high-level list functions that the user sees and the low-level list functions that actually changes the pointers. Yes, it is.
is
That's correct. That's correct. This constructor, this linked node object, what constructor is invoked upon the linked node object that is allocated by the new function.
So,
is empty checks the linked list object, not the linked node. It has nothing to do with the linked node. The linked node class does not have an is empty operator.
So why exactly would that be? Why couldn't it be empty at this point?
Why couldn't it be empty? Why couldn't what be empty?
The object, like
the linked list object? Well, it could. That's why I'm checking it. Maybe I don't understand your question. Or are you asking why couldn't the linked node object be empty?
Yes.
Well, the linked node object, the linked node object can't be empty because when I invoke its constructor, I invoked it with the parameterized version. Okay. Now the linked node object might not exist. But that would be because the new function failed. And I'm checking that to make sure that if the new node is null, I'm just returning false before I do anything. Okay? Other questions? Alright, so here's the insert function. And you'll see this is a lot simpler of an insert function than we went over when we talked about the ordered insert. Because the ordered insert, you know, has to search through the list for the right position, has to check to see whether it's doing an insert before, an insert in the middle. This insert doesn't have to do that because it's using the concept of a current node in order to do an insert after. So all we do here is we check to see if current is equal to null, we return false. There's no way we can insert after the current node if the current node isn't referring to a node that's in the list. Otherwise, if current node is not equal to null, which means it refers to a node that's in the list, then we need to allocate a new node again. We'll allocate another new node, initializing it to the new data that was passed in. We'll make sure we'll check to see if that allocation failed and returned false. And then we'll check to see if the list is empty. We'll return false. Now, that's an if statement that probably doesn't need to be there. And I'll ask you why in a moment. Otherwise, we ask this new node that we just allocated, we ask it to set its next to point to, so we ask it to set itself to point to current arrow get next. So we're at a current node, and we ask that node that we're currently pointing to give us back the pointer to the node that it refers to. And then we're telling this new node to point itself to point to that one. So we're telling itself to point to the node that the current node currently points to. And then we're telling the current node to set its next to the new node so that this inserts it after the current node but before the next node, before the node after the current node. And then we return true. Now, why is this check that says if is empty, return false. Why should that never occur? Yeah, I've already checked that in a sense up here by checking to see if current is equal to null. If current is equal to null, then the list cannot be in an empty. The list can only be in an empty state. Let's see. I don't think I'm phrasing that correctly. Yeah, if the list is empty, current will be null. Okay, current will already be null, and we've already checked that previously. Now, there is the case of where current could be null and the list is not empty. Current could be where they could have accidentally advanced it past the end of the list, and it could become null. But if that's the case, then this first if statement will also catch that condition. So this if statement right here isn't really needed to check that possibility. There's no logical possibility of this case of where current is not equal to null but the list is empty. That should never happen. The only way that case or that state of the list, the only way for the state of the list such that the list is empty but cur is not null, how could that state arise of where the list is empty but current is not equal to null? In a sense, that's right. A dangling pointer. If I've got a mistake, if I've got a mistake in my list node linked list class function, if I've got a mistake and somehow I've deleted the list and I've left current not being nulled out, then it could happen. But it's a logic error. Now, so in a sense, yes, that should never logically occur, but it might accidentally occur. So in a sense, I'm putting this in here to check for a logic error in my implementation. And to be honest with you, that's not a bad idea. That's a good programming practice. But what I should probably do is do something besides returning false here. Besides returning false, I probably ought to do something else. Whatever, and assert for something and take it out when I actually finally finish debugging the program and I'm ready to release it to my users. Okay? Question?
Okay. It seems to me that when that car will cause a problem if the user has some kind of insert keyboard where it would insert after the last column of the blank book, if that caused a problem, it wouldn't get an answer.
No, because if cur is actually referring to the last node in the list, it's pointing to the last node, right? Look at what would happen. I'd still go get a new node. I'd check, new node would not be equal to null. The list would not be empty. Then I would be telling the new node to set its next to cur arrow get next. So what would be, if cur was pointing to the next to the last node, what would be stored in the next field of that last node? Null. So I would then be telling this new node to set its next to null. Okay? And then I would be telling the current node, which is the last one, to point to where? The new node. So it works okay. It handles that case. Question?
Would it mean that
bingo. Gotcha. So we told you there were a few gotchas in this code, right? This doesn't correctly check to update the tail pointer. The tail pointer at that point would be incorrect. Logically incorrect. Better be careful. Boy, if I was reading it, I'd probably write that down in my notes right now. I was going to perhaps be using this code a little bit later on. That's why. Well, because someone on the linked list object, before they call insert, they can call go to head, which will set the cur to be equal to the head, and then they can call advance any given number of times. And they might call advance to where it advances it beyond the last node, which would set cur to null. Well, they can do that. The operations allows it. But then if they call insert, I can't insert beyond null. So it's in fact a possibility that the user could make that mistake. This linked list class does not encapsulate the user from not allowing them to make logic errors. They can still use this class to make logic errors. And so I'm trying to check to see if they've made one here.
It isn't current initialized to null in the constructor. So enough.
It's initialized to null in the constructor for the linked list class. That's correct. But then they could call. They could then do prefix node. They can call advance, or they can call go to head. Then they could call insert. They could call it several times, inserting several nodes in this list. Then they could call move it back to the beginning, say go to head again, advance the number of times. I don't know where they're eventually going to position head. I cannot be guaranteed, or the cur. I cannot be guaranteed that cur will always be pointing to a node that's in this list, because the advance function allows them to advance it beyond on the last node in the list, which sets it to null.
But if it sets to null in the constructor, wouldn't that mean that every time you instantiate a new instance of the linked list class, that current always going to be null, so every time you talk
the current in that new linked list object would, but that doesn't affect the current in the other linked list object, in the other linked list, okay? You got to keep track here. We're going to have one linked list object, which will have pointers to multiple linked node objects, which will form a linked list. Now we could have an entirely separate linked list object. Okay, we could have more than one linked list object, but they would really be storing different or separate, let's say, not different, but separate linked lists. They would have their own set of connected link node objects. They would have their own copy of cur, head, and tail. Okay? And there's no way through these functions that they could make pointers in one of the linked lists point to nodes in the other linked list. Okay? There's no way they could, I don't think, physically do that, because in order to do it, they would have to somehow figure out how to break the encapsulation. Let's not worry about that at the moment.
Okay, so when you first extended a linked list object,
that's correct.
So when you first cut it, you add your first node.
You mean when I instantiate a linked list object and then I call insert will fail because it'll check to see cur is null and it won't do anything. They should not call insert, which inserts after the current, when they're trying to insert their first node. They should call prefix node to insert the first node. Okay? Now you could make, if you wanted to, you could add that other functionality in insert, but I'm trying to keep it as small as possible. I've already provided a function called prefix node that allows them to add a node into an empty list. Why do I need to put that same functionality in another function when they've already got that, when I've already provided that functionality to them, right? I could do that. I could here in insert, I could say, if cur equals null, or if head equals null, above that first if, I could say if head equals null, basically moving this if is empty up to here. And rather than doing this, I could put that same code that was in prefix mode. I could put that same code here to in insert to create a one element list. I could do that, but I'd be duplicating the code. And why should I duplicate the code? It's already there. Why do I make my class bigger than it needs to be? I've already provided that functionality once. If they can't figure out how to get to the functionality once, that's their problem. Okay? I'm not designing my class for idiots, all right? They may choose to use it, but it's not designed for them, all right? Question? Yes, I could do that. However, if I do that, what he said was, could I make prefix node private? And then in my insert here, check to see first if the list was empty, and if it was, call prefix node, which is now private. Yes, I could do that. However, let's say you create your own. That's the way you want to design your linked list class. All right, I would then challenge you. After you've done that, you've got a linked list now, and you've got maybe 50 elements in it or whatever. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to insert one more element into your linked list, make it 51, but I want the 51st element to be at the head of the list. How would you do it?
Wouldn't
be able to. That's why prefix is a public member function, because it provides that. Remember, insert is always really an insert after. So we need to give the user, since it's always inserting after the current node, we need to give the user some way of inserting before the very beginning of the list. They can insert before every other node by correctly positioning current and calling insert, but not for the initial node. Questions? Okay. Now, here are the mutators for this. Go to head is quite simple. It just sets cur to be equal to head. So the cur is now pointing to the first node that's in the list. Go to tail does the same thing. Sets cur equal to tail. It's now pointing at the last node that's in the list. To advance current to the next node that's in the list. It checks if current isn't equal to null. If current isn't equal to null, then I'll set current equal to current arrow get next. Now, what if I don't have that test? What if I don't bother to check that test? I've actually provided an isEmpty function. The user can determine if the list is empty. What if I, can I just safely omit that test of if cur is not equal to null and just automatically advance cur? No. What might happen if I do that? Go ahead. An access violation as I try at some point, if cur is node, and I say cur arrow to get to the linked node object that it's pointing to, and it's not pointing to one, it's null. This is a dereference of that current pointer. And if cur is equal to null, and I try and dereference it, the thing blows up. So I have to check for that possibility. And if it's already at null, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to return false. Now, it's up to the user to decide whether or not they can check that. They can check what's returned by advance to see whether it could safely advance it or not. So I'll tell them whether I was able to advance it or not. If they choose to ignore that, that's their problem. All right? Once again, as I said, I'm not designing this thing for idiots to use. Yeah, I've told them whether or not I could safely have done that. And so if they choose to ignore it and go on with whatever operations they're doing, that's their problem. Now, here is the delete current node function. This is a little bit involved here. As you can see, it checks if the cur is equal to null, it returns false. Because obviously we could not delete it. Then it checks to see if the current is equal to the head. That's a special case. If the current is equal to the head, then we basically set delete is equal to cur. We bump head up to the next node. We get the pointer to the next node from the node that head's pointing to, and we set head to that. We then move current to the new head so that we leave current updated correctly. And we check here if tail is equal to the lead disk, then tail is equal to cur. Now, what would that be telling you? If this is true, what does that tell you? Delete curve is equal to head. I set delete this to curve, and if head is equal to delete this, what does that tell you? That I'm, if this statement is true, what am I doing? I'm deleting the last link node object that is in this list. Okay? But that's okay, because when I would set head equal to its get next, that would set head to null. That would have set curve, when I set curve equal to head, it would get set to null. And I'd be setting tail to null. And that's fine, because now the list is going to be empty. And at that point, all I have, now just to be safe, I'm going to tell this node that I'm deleting to set its next to null, just so that I don't accidentally leave that laying around in memory just in case some possible logic error might occur. Technically, I don't need to do this, and this never should come into play. Then I actually delete that node and return true. So that handles the case where I'm deleting at the head of the node. Otherwise, what I have to do, since I'm going to delete the current node, is I have to find a point, I have to find the previous node. In order to delete this current node, I've got to tell the previous node that was pointing to it to point around it. So I've got to find that previous node. That's what this while statement does. I'll set previous node ahead. While it's not null, and previous node get next is not equal to curve. While it's not equal to the one that I'm going to delete, while it's not, while that, while the node that it's pointing to doesn't point to that node. I know I'm not deleting the head, but I've already checked that here. So essentially I'm doing sort of a one node look ahead here. And if that first node is not pointing to, if the second node is not cur, the one that it's pointing to, then I'll just move previous node equal to the next one. I'll move it up to the second one, and I'll check to see if the second one, which is pointing to the third one, is the one I want to delete. Then I'll just keep doing this until either I hit the end of the list, or I find the one that I'm looking for. And notice now the order of these two conditions in here is important. Why? In that while loop, the order of those two conditions is important. Why? Frightening someone, huh?
Because otherwise,
what does it rely upon in order to work correctly? What's the term that I'm looking for?
Success violation?
No. Wrong. Anybody in with me?
Boolean short circuiting.
Right, I'm checking to see if previous node is not equal to null before I dereference it. Right? So if it is equal to null, if I don't find it, now that should never occur. There's no way that cur should not be null and is pointing to some node that's not in the list. If cur is not equal to null, if I get down in here, cur is not null, and yet I've went all the way through the list and haven't found it, that would tell me I've got a big logic error in my code, in my linked list code somewhere. Because there's no way, logically, that cur should ever be able to not be null and not be pointing to a node that's in the list. But I've checked for that very strange possibility anyway. So now I'll check if previous node is equal to null. That tells me that I didn't find it and I'm getting the crap out of here because something weird is happening. Okay? Otherwise, I did find it and I need to bypass it. So first I'll set delete this equal to cur. I'll tell the previous node to set its next to the next node that the current node is pointing to, so that I bypass it. Then I'll tell the current node to set its next to null, and then I'm going to tell the current node now to point to, really, where it was previously, the node that it was pointing at was previously pointing to. I'll set it basically to the next node beyond itself. And then I'll check the tail here. If tail is equal to delete this, then I know I'm doing what? I've deleted the tail. And I'll set tail equal to previous node, because that will now be the last node that's in the list. And if this is true, if this statement is true, what can you tell me about the value of cur if that if statement is true? This is like a book I read. This is like a book I read one time. It's sort of like reverse programming almost. A book I read one time called The Chess Mysteries of Sherlock Holmes. Wasn't at all what you thought it would be. I bought it and then went, what a weird book. Because it wasn't the normal way you think in chess. In chess problems, you're usually presented with a position. And it's like white to move and win in four moves, or white to move and make in six moves, right? Now, the Sherlock Holmes chess mystery book written by a guy by the name of Raymond Smullyan, who used to write a column in Scientific American, he wrote it where he described these little scenarios where Holmes and Watson would be out eating or something, and they'd be walking by two guys playing chess or whatever, and Holmes would look at the board and go, oh, that's an interesting position. I can tell you what white and black last three moves were. You go, huh? You're going to tell me what their last three moves were? Or you're not going to tell me what they have to move to win? That was the trick, is trying to think backwards. So what can you tell me now here if this is true? If I'm deleting the tail, what can you tell me about her? No. No. You're guessing. Current is null. Current is null. If this if statement executes, current is null. Why? Obviously, that gentleman knows. Because when I set cur, when I set previous node here, previous node, when I told previous node to set it next to cur get next, if cur was also equal to the tail, then the next of cur, or the next of the tail, would be null, and I would have told the previous node to set its next to null, and when I told cur to set itself equal to the previous node next, that would have told cur to set itself to null. Is that appropriate? Mm-hmm. That's appropriate. I mean, if cur is pointing to the last node in the list, and we delete the last node in the list, cur should be null. Cur is no longer pointing to a current node. Correct? That's appropriate. Tail, however, should be pointing to the tail always. And so I checked it here. And I made sure that it was now pointing to the new tail of the list. And then otherwise, then I just deleted that node and returned true. Okay? A lot of little conditions you have to check for in here. Well, the user, it's up to the user to figure out that if they call delete cur, and cur is pointing to the last node in the list, cur would then be null. But we provided a way that they can check that. In the list interface, which I don't seem to find here at the moment. In list. They can call the in list function. After they call the delete cur, they can call the in list function. And it'll tell them whether or not cur is valid before they try and do something with it. So we provided a way for them to check that. That's a mistake. There's a mistake on this slide 7.15 where it has the code to delete the value. We'll go through this and see if you can find a mistake on this slide. So basically, what does this thing do? It finds the first node in the list that contains the specified data value and deletes it. So what we do here is we set a temporary my cur equal to head. We set a temporary my trailer equal to null. We're going to do that business of using a trailing pointer. Okay? We're going to go down looking for this item and using a trailing pointer so that we can bypass it and delete this node. So then we have this while statement here. While my cur is not equal to null, the Boolean short circuiting check. And my current data is not equal to, or not of equal to target. So we're relying upon the possible overloading of the equality operator for the item objects. And as long as that current data, the data of this MyCur node, is not equal to the target that we're looking to delete, then we'll move trailer to MyCur, and we'll move MyCur on to the next one. Okay? Then we come down after this while loop and we check. If MyCur is equal to null, that means that we never found it. We never found it in the list. They've asked us to delete something that's not in the list, so we return false at that point. Otherwise, we know we did find it. And so then we check to see if my trailer is equal to null. If my trailer is equal to null, that means this while loop never executed. And the only reason it would not have executed and my curve would have not been equal to null was this while. Yeah, the first node contained the one we wanted to delete. So we know in this case that we're wanting to delete the head node. And all we have to do then at that point, we have to then at that point set head, move head around this node. We'll set head equal to head arrow get next. Otherwise, if my trailer is not equal to null, we found it somewhere else down in the list. And so we retarget the previous pointer. We tell the previous node, or the trailing node, to set its next to the next node, current node, my current node points to. That bypasses the my current node. And then we come down here and we do a couple extra checks here. If cur is equal to my cur. So if the current node happens to also be the node that contains the target, we'll set cur equal to my trailer. We don't want to let it be dangling around because we're getting ready to delete the node that it's pointing to. So we'll reset cur to be the previous node. And if tail is equal to my cur, we're getting ready to delete that, so we'll set it equal to the trailer node so that it is now equal to the node, to the last node that's in the list. Because we're getting ready to delete the last node is what that tells us. And then we tell, just to be safe, we'll tell the my cur node that we're getting ready to delete to set its next to null, just to be safe. Then we'll delete it, we'll return true. Now, there's a mistake on this slide. Anybody see it?
You don't have anything that was in
because yes, I set, when my trailer is null, I set head to point to the next one. I then tell that node, my cur is also pointing to that one in that case. Right? And I tell that old head to set it next to null, and I delete it. You know, that's not the problem. This is a trick question. I said slide, and not code. When I titled this, I had the subtitle down here. I said deleting the current node, because obviously in order to create this slide, I did a quick copy and paste from the previous slide, which was deleting the current node. Okay, well, never mind. Wait, now, where is it? Yeah, see the previous slide, which says delete current node, is deleting the current node. And then when I did the delete value, I obviously made the stupid mistake of doing a copy and paste and not updating it. Hold on, we've got just, no we don't. All right, if you want to come down and ask me a question, come on down, that's it for today.